I mentioned at the beginning the different aspects of today's celebration, that today's saint, Saint Isidore, today's First Friday, it's a Lenten Friday, and those are all familiar probably to you, but maybe not everybody here knows Linda. I said this Mass is in a special way in memory of Linda Santos, our sister. So let me just mention a few things about her, although I think that maybe everyone here knows her. I realized when I heard that she had died that I had lost track of her. I didn't even know where she was because I hadn't seen her in a while. So I learned that she had moved back to the province or moved to Tacloban. I think that's where she's from, Tacloban. Anyway, because she had been suffering from dementia for the past several years, and so her family's been taking care of her. But we received the news on Sunday that she died Saturday. Linda Santos, actually her real name is Florinda. I didn't even know that. She's a member of our community for years. I didn't even know her real name, Linda Santos. She was 75 years old, died in Tacloban, heart attack. And she was an honorum associate for many years. She made her commitment in 2005. She was an active member of the BCBP. I think there might be some BCBP members here, so here in her honor. She was also a lector here in the parish. Maybe members of the parish are here. And she ran a little school right here in the village, Yahweh's Love Learning Center. She was a very dedicated educator, a very fine person. And so that's why we want to honor her memory, but especially we want to pray for her eternal rest, her eternal glory. When I saw this picture of her, which I think her niece sent to us, very beautiful picture of her, I said, I don't recognize her because she was always wearing white. I never saw her wearing any other color because as a lector, she would wear white. And I think as a teacher, she would wear white. And when she was here, she was always in white. In those days, our honorable members would always wear white. I never saw her in a red dress. So I'm very happy to see it. She was always with her sister, Zenny. Almost always, the blind one. I think that was her older sister. Yeah. So they were quite a pair. It was nice to see them together. They were very different from each other, if you get to know them. Linda was the more serious one. Actually, Zenny was the more, at least in my experience, the more of a joker, but also a very quiet person. So you didn't know that she had this kind of witty, observation of what was going on, even though she was blind. She was very well, she was attentive to what was going on. But they were a great pair, and it was inspiring to see how Linda took care of her sister for many years. So we're here to honor her memory, and the best way to honor those who have died is to offer Mass for them. So her funeral and burial were on Tuesday, but that was way down in Tacloban, so none of us, I suppose, were able to go and pay our respects. So that's why this Mass is for our sister, Linda Santos, and for her loved ones who are now grieving her passing. Well, today we are deep in the Lenten season, and we're on a Friday of Lent. So Fridays have a special character in Lent because they are in commemoration of the Lord's passion and death. Good Friday is 2 weeks from today, so we're getting very close to the culmination of the Lenten journey. Today's first reading is a passage from the Book of Wisdom, which exposes how wicked people think. It's right to have this on display because this is what we're going to see in action in Holy Week, how wicked people think. It also helps us understand that God knows very well how wicked people think. And this is right in the Bible. Wicked people don't understand the just, but just people understand the wicked. But first of all, we should all understand the wicked because we can look into ourselves and see this tendency in ourselves. We're all fallen. We're all sinners. But if we're listening to the Lord or pondering the Word of God, that gives us an even greater insight into how the wicked think, because God exposes it. And here, the wicked are determined to destroy the just one, the one they refer to as the just one. And it's interesting to see their criteria. Why do they oppose him? not because of truth, not because of justice, not because of doing what's right, but because they don't like him. They're annoyed by him. He's a pest to them. They feel judged by him. They're bothered by him. So you see what's happening? The standard by which they judge him is themselves. We don't like him, so therefore we're going to get rid of him. It's a classic example of pride. We were studying pride yesterday in the community. Proud people put themselves at the center. They put themselves at the place of God. Well, that's what these wicked people are doing, and they're acting as if they have a right to judge this just one, whoever he might be, to judge him and condemn him and kill him. And they say, well, let's see it. We're going to do it. Let's just see if what he says is really true. Let's see if all his talk about truth and justice and about God is true, and see if God really takes care of him. And it says at the end of the reading, these were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them. Wickedness blinds us if we give into it. They knew not the hidden counsels of God, neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. So because wickedness blinded them, they couldn't see any further than their own annoyance at the guy. If you follow the daily liturgy, you might remember that two Fridays ago, we reflected on the story of the Old Testament Joseph and his brothers who hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. That's another example of this same thing. Their brothers hated him so much they wanted to kill him, and at the last minute they sold him, and they thought, well, now we're rid of that guy who is such a pain to us, such an annoyance to us. They didn't realize, because wicked people are blinded by their own wickedness, they didn't realize that Joseph, their younger brother, was going to be the instrument God used for their benefit. And this is implied a little bit in today's reading. The wicked, they don't understand how God works, the hidden counsels of God. They don't understand how God rewards the just or how holiness works, because they can't see past their own feelings, really, and their own self-will. Okay, well, this is the human condition. It's a little bit saddening to see it and hear it, but it's true. So we have to know it's true. And in Lent, we realize we're part of this broken condition ourselves. We all have a tendency to reject those we don't like, not because of God's standards or because of truth, but because we set ourselves up as our own standard. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't just like or not like us. God's standard is love. He is love. And he wants to reveal his love and give us an experience of his love all the time. We saw on Sunday the great parable of the prodigal son. The father in that parable is a representation of God the Father. He loves both of his sons, even though neither one of them really understand who he is, and they don't recognize his love. But he loves both of them. Well, Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father's love. In fact, Jesus is the one who told that parable. So he knows what he's talking about. He knows the Father, and he wants everyone to know the Father. So when we get to today's gospel, Jesus is in a little difficult situation because he's on a mission from the Father to reveal the Father and reconcile all people to the Father, but the people are starting to grow hostile toward him, and they're out to stone him or kill him, and so he can't as easily travel about. It says here that he was in Galilee, and there was a feast in Jerusalem, and all good Jews went to the feast. They went to Jerusalem, and he always went to Jerusalem. But since they were trying to kill him in Jerusalem, he couldn't do it openly. But he does it anyway. Jesus, who knows human nature, who knows the wickedness and the ways that wicked people think, who knows exactly what he's facing, he goes anyway. He goes to Jerusalem anyway. We'll see this determination in Holy Week. He's determined to reveal the love of the Father, even to people who don't want it to be revealed. Even to people who are violently opposed to that very revelation. This is how we see the love of God is so superior to any human motives or even anything we can comprehend. The love of God is so much greater that there's no comparison. And this is what Jesus wants the people to know. Now, the people who are gossiping among themselves and saying, who is this? Is this the one? Is he really the Christ? I thought he was the bad guy. I thought they wanted to kill him. They don't arrest him. There's this talk going on in Jerusalem. And this is the way it is in every city, in every community. There's always talk about what's going on. And they say, well, we know this one and we know where he's from, meaning we know he's from Nazareth. And when the Christ comes, we won't know where he's from. Now, I don't know why they said that, because the prophecies were all that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and he'd be a descendant of David. That was understood, but they didn't. So see, their wickedness blinds them. They think they know the scriptures. They don't even know that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. And apparently nobody knew that Jesus was really born in Bethlehem. That was still unknown. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. But Jesus stands up and he says in a very loud voice, you know who I am. So you say, you know who I am, you know where I come from. But if you really want to know me, you have to know I came from the Father. And you don't know him. This is Jesus again. He's saying something that he knows is going to disturb them, but it must be revealed. It must be said for their own good. That's what love does, right? Love moves us to do what's good, not to do what makes people like us. So he says, you know me, you know where I'm from. I did not come on my own. The one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him and he sent me. Jesus will hear him saying a lot about the Father in the next weeks, but he's constantly revealing the Father, and he says, you can't know me unless you know I come from the Father. You can't know the Father unless you accept and put your trust in me, and this is why I'm here. Well, we know how this is going to go, because they don't know the Father, and they don't know love, and because their wickedness blinds them, they're going to attack this perfect revelation of love, this word of the Father, the Logos, the incarnate word of the Father. They're going to attack him and kill him. And that terrible response is going to become the means of the salvation of all of us sinners. It's a beautiful, but like I say, it's incomprehensible how the love of God so dominates and so overpowers human thinking and reasoning. Okay. It's not even Good Friday and the microphone dead already. Okay, right, I'm not going to say more. In honor of Linda, who loved the Lord, who loved the church, who loved to serve, and who loved this truth about Jesus, in honor of her, let us also accept this Lenten message, this First Friday message of the love of God revealed by Jesus to such a degree that it overpowers the blinding thinking of the wicked, and it overpowers our littleness, our weaknesses, our sins. This is the basic truth of reality. Now what's happening? I think the Lord's telling me to stop this homily. Okay, so we get the truth. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.